you for joining us for the Help for Wounded Spirits broadcast. We exist to help those wounded and suffering through life's trials. Here is our host and best-selling author, Doug Carriger.
Hey, good morning, sir. Sergeant Major Carriger. I was at the gym earlier, and I was talking to a veteran who was in the gym with his PTSD dog. His great. I mean, it was just a picture of a soldier's soldier, a grunt's grunt. He was he was jump qualified. He helped, you know, train some SEALs. He was a real deal. And he was, you know, he was going around. Some of the veterans would go up, you know, bump his fists, and he'd talk to him. You could just tell he's been around. He's been in Afghanistan. But I say that to say it's just, and yesterday we talked about the military guy, the Centurion, with his, you know, this character that made him more valuable than anyone in Israel. And he was a Gentile because of his military bearing. And I just think it's cool that, you know, I get to meet these people, and, you know, you've gone through the military, you sergeant major and all that stuff. And you know what? God's putting us through boot camp with all the junk we go through to raise the level of our character to be able to get the jobs done.
Boy, isn't that the truth? And just to be able to serve a wonderful, loving God. And we certainly do that. And it's an honor, folks. It's an honor that you would tune into your radio stations this morning, however you listen to us. We're thrilled. Make sure you write out to your radio station, say, hey, thanks for running this. And if you happen to be listening to us in another effort, make sure you go out there and give us 5 stars so that other people can stumble their way to find us. We passed 100,000 downloads a few months ago, and over 1,000 episodes, and God's been doing a work, and we just love you guys. Thank you for being so awesome. Mm-hmm. And we really like that. So today we're talking about a narrow way. So we're going to be talking about a miracle. We continue on with the miracles, and we know we just talked about the centurion servant, and then we're going to be talking about the Jesus raising the widow's son from the dead. That's today's miracle. But there's a narrow way to serving God. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 7:13-14, it says, enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth destruction, and many there be which go in threat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And you know, I was mentioning to Kevin, so years ago in 1969, a fellow named Kirby Hensley he was a Baptist preacher, and he got disillusioned with his church and with people and things of that nature. So he moved to California, just kind of like L. Ron Hubbard, except not as big. I think he was blown away that L. Ron Hubbard was making so much money, and he wanted to be part of that. So after 6 years of court battles, we take up with Kirby Hensley, and his mail order Universal Life Church were cleared of all charges in California. A San Jose municipal judge dismissed a $625 fine and a 1-year suspended sentence against Henley's involvement in a 69 conviction for selling courses from a non-accredited institution. The conviction was overturned by a federal appeals court in 73, but the loose ends were not cleared up until now. Hensley, a 63-year-old, one-time Baptist preacher and self-designated bishop of the Universal Life Church, claims to have ordained more than 2 million people by mail and issued some 10,000 honorary Doctor of Divinity degrees at a charge of $20 each. Last year, a court ruled that Henley's church is entitled to a federal tax exemption. Folks, I want you to know that goes on today. Just last week, I was talking to Kevin about a young man who's a friend of mine on Facebook, and this young man had bought a marriage ordination certificate from the Marriage Society, and it says you and your church can marry whoever you want. And then this organization, this is a young Christian guy who I believe is following the right way, but he gets this ordination certificate that's not worth the $120 he paid for it. Same thing that was going on in 69, Kevin. It's a narrow way. For wide is the gate, but broad is the way, Brother Kevin, that leadeth to destruction. Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, and what's the actual phrase? I want to make sure I get it right. That we're looking at.
It's a narrow
The narrow way. Okay. Yeah. So the guy giving, you know, the diploma mill, the ordination mill, that's the broad way, you know, because the idea of an ordination is a bottleneck that keeps out unqualified people from the ministry. So you go before a council, an ordination council. And boy, he's just bypassing all that. Just, you'd call it the classic broad way. But it's a terrible thing when it happens that way with people trying to get to heaven. And I've heard it said that going to heaven is going through the narrow end of a funnel. But the Satan's way, the way that doesn't work, is portrayed as a funnel going through the classic way, the wide end. And then problem is, it immediately bottlenecks, and nobody gets through when it's that way. It just clogs completely. But the narrow way is that leadeth to life is, man, we've got to go God's way. And when the Holy Spirit of God convicts us of our sin and makes us realize that we are not worthy of going any other way, and it's purely by grace, purely God's riches at Christ's expense, and that he would freely give them to us. And in receiving that, that's going through the narrow end. Then guess what? It opens up. And like the Bible says, thou hast set my feet in a large room. And I just like the picture of that. You know, you just go down the narrow hallway, you come into a big room. But you know what? Like most things in salvation that bring us to salvation, those same dynamics are at work in my life and your life. And if you're listening, just everyone's life after salvation. In other words, God has to narrow us down to be able to step into the next large room. And let's face it, this trauma ministry that we're involved in, or this trauma that I've been through, this problem you're going through, this deep, blindsided, where, you know, like Job said, I was not in trouble, neither was I looking for trouble, and I'm not quoting exactly, yet distress came. And basically saying, look, I was just running a business and taking care of people, treating people right, praying for my kids, and all of a sudden I got blindsided. And why does trauma happen like that? Well, it's like, is it not like entering, you know, you kind of go from a big, big, good situation, a big, wide, Biltmore house style thing down a narrow, narrow, restrictive hallway. Like, why am I in this bottleneck of, why am I in this funnel, the thin end of a funnel? Why is God forcing me into this thing? And trauma is God, as it were, forcing you that ultimately you can come out the other end of that hallway into a larger room. And I think God is in the business of making that happen over and over. I know when I went through some just bad stuff in my life, I came out of it in a bigger room where I was like, wow, okay, God, I guess it was worth it. And yeah, God's got a narrow way. And sometimes we have to be narrowed by trauma to pass through this way.
Boy, the narrow way, that's good, brother. Sometimes, you know, sometimes it takes those tough things. You know, D.L. Moody, who we were talking about, the former great pastor up there in Chicago, and he wrote one time that his favorite verse was Isaiah 12:2, which is something like, I will trust and not be afraid. And he would go around and tell people, you can travel to heaven either first class or second class. And he would go tell people, second class is where you say, what time I am afraid, I will trust. First class is, I will trust and not be afraid. Folks, I don't know about you, but I want to be like Moody. I will trust and not be afraid. I want to travel first class for this life here in heaven. You know, it takes just a life here on earth, getting ready to go to heaven. It just takes a few minutes to lead someone to the Lord, but it takes a lifetime a lifetime to bring heaven down to you and to bring the Lord down to you and get closer to him through the sanctification process, to be studying our Bibles, to be learning what we can learn, to be in church when the doors are open, to be growing, to be part of it. There's so much to be said for that. And I'm encouraged by that. I want to travel first class. I want to be the guy that finds, and I can't do it on my own, folks. This is not something that we can do under our own power. This walk here on earth has never been about our own power. It's always been about trusting in the power of God, relying in the power of God. And when we do that, boy, that narrow way, it doesn't matter. We can fit right through the eye of a needle. Listen, we'll be right back with you. Don't go anywhere.
Doug will return shortly. Meanwhile, you're hearing this music while radio stations are identifying themselves and broadcasting advertisements.
Thanks for hanging with us. As we continue on, we're looking at the book of Luke, chapter 7, 11 through 17. And looking at this wonderful miracle of the widow's son, and we see here, and it came to pass, Luke chapter 7, 11 through 17, and it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh, close by, to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and much people of the city were with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. He came and touched her, touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him unto his mother. And there came a fear on all. And they glorified God, saying, this is a great prophet risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the regions round about. So Jesus encounters a funeral procession, And you know, there's no good funerals with Jesus around. It's over, man. There's not going to be a funeral that day. Things are going to change. This compassion, we've talked about that, haven't we? We've seen that so many times, and we've talked about Christ's compassion. And he demonstrates that he loves this grieving widow, these people who are upset, these people walking with this young man. We don't know anything about this young man's life, but it just hurts so bad to see a young person die like that. And Christ, again, here he is again, Kevin. You know, he's demonstrating his authority over death. He's witnessing, he's responding, he's spreading the gospel. And I think we can apply a few things here. I just want to say a few things to you that I want you to apply to your life from this. And I think, first of all, we need to be like Christ. We need to be compassionate. We need compassionate. We need to demonstrate compassion. We need to demonstrate empathy. We need to go out and find people who need support. Now, granted, we're not going to bring anyone back from the dead, but we sure can help those left behind. Another practical thought I think for today is, you know, having faith in God's power. God can still change things. God can still do things. I had a friend of mine, his name was John Williams Adams. John Williams Adams. He was named after his grandfather, and Williams was his middle name after his mother's father, and his name was John Adams. John Williams Adams. I'll never forget this. He was a Graves Registration Officer in Vietnam, and he would bring people in after people were declared dead, and he would zip them up in their bags and put them in a cooler. And he was there one night, and he would sit with them, and he would pray with them. He'd wash them. He'd clean them. They were in a cold room. All he could smell. He said for the rest of his life, all he could do is smell people. And one night, he was sitting there in his chair, and he saw this bag jumping all over the place, and he ran out the door so fast, he ran into a nurse and knocked her over. And she says, what's wrong, slugger? He still remembers the words she used. And he said, there's a bag moving in there. She said, well, unzip it. And they ran in there, and they unzipped this bag. And this nurse stood there and said, I swear to you, the doctor, myself, and two other people had stethoscopes on this man. He was dead. You know, God still can change things today, Kevin. We serve a great God. We need to be compassionate. We need to have the empathy that God teaches.
Yeah, hallelujah. Yeah, when someone's dead, that's just the most sober time. And, you know, because it means the cessation of everything that, could be, could happen, and all the good things that were taking place. And, you know, there's always some degree of, well, he's not suffering, and that. And that's good. I think of the scripture sometimes when someone dies a little bit early, there's a scripture that says, no man, the righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart, and no man considereth. And I don't have it in front of me, but it goes similar to this. None considereth that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. And evil meaning bad juju, bad stuff, bad things, or wickedness. So, you know, there's just sometimes when God takes people out of the way to rescue them from some, just it would have gone really bad and God knew it. But God is able, like you said, Doug, to come into a death situation. It's hard to get any worse off than dead. And I like the story about Vietnam because it just, you know, that just shows us again that this is not fairy tale stories. God can still do stuff. And, but, you know, the faith healers, I just haven't heard a verifiable account of a faith healer raising the dead. Anyone can claim that he fixed a guy's lung problem, but until he pulls the lung out and show us, it's hard to just kind of tell. But really it's hard to, you know, once someone's clinically dead, verifiably dead with evidence of it, vitals and everything showing death, it's hard to get it fixed. Jesus came because he had compassion. And there was, you know, one of the survivors was compassionate. It doesn't say anything about the spiritual condition of the deceased. Only God knew about that. And he chose not to tell us, but he did choose to tell us about the mother, the widow. So this is a throwback to, I believe it was Elisha or maybe Elijah. I think it was Elisha, that there was a widow and her son died.
The widow of Zarephath. No, it was Elijah. Yeah.
Okay. So that was a compassion thing. People die. I was talking to someone today. I can't remember who. I talked to so many people, but there was the situation. I prayed with someone on the phone. Oh, someone who's dealing with PTSD in ministry. I mean, helping people with PTSD. And we just prayed together and just prayed that he could be like Elijah or Elisha, who there was a dead child. And he, the prophets went in and nothing could raise the child from the dead. Gehazi tried to lay his staff upon him. And don't send your staff to do what only you can do. That's the lesson there. Don't send your staff. But the staff didn't raise him from the dead. It took the man himself. And it says he spread himself upon the dead child and hand to hand, face to face, body to body, and the flesh of the dead child waxed warm. And then, of course, the prophet was praying, and then the child sneezed seven times. I have no idea why he sneezed seven times, but seven times of sneezing, and the child came to life. And that was that, you know, that just tells me that of compassion. You talked about compassion and empathy. We can't just send a lifeless stick and think that our program or our methodology or the what we did last year will accomplish it. We need to right now go. We talked about intercession earlier this week. Go to the person, intervene in that person's life, and spread herself upon them spiritually and emotionally. Weep with them that weep, laugh with them that laugh. Make sure that we take what we have, the warmth, the energy of our spiritual life that's left, because they don't have it, and say,
yeah, we lost
you. Love you, and here's the truth, and let God warm the person up until they pop back to life. That's what we're called to do. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. So that's what soul winning is what Jesus did right
about
here.
About 30 seconds,
showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and God did it.
And boy, God can do things. We lost you, Kevin, for about 5 seconds in there, but we didn't lose enough of your audio to be that problematic. Folks, exactly what Kevin said, that widow is Zarephath, and there's Elijah laying on him for the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and making a difference and trusting God. If we only had the faith of a mustard seed. And folks, we talked about the practicality here and the things we can do. Have a compassionate outreach. Have faith in God's power. And every minute of every day, recognize Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Recognize Him as God. He'll take care of you. We sure do love you, people. We're looking forward to tomorrow. Make sure you come back. Trusting in God in difficult times will be tomorrow. May God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. At Help for Wounded Spirits, we believe the Bible and place great importance on you having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior. The Bible delivers a clear and simple message of salvation, outlining how you can begin your personal relationship now. First, recognize that you are a sinner, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, understand that there is a cost to our sin, as the wages of sin is death. Third, realize that Jesus alone paid that price. To receive salvation, simply ask the Lord to save you in Jesus' name while believing in your heart that He alone can save you, and He will. If we can help you with your salvation or to direct you to a local church, please do not hesitate to contact us. For additional helpful resources, including our new TV series, more information, or to donate and support this crucial ministry, please visit us at woundedspirits.com. May God bless you.